This isn't your typical podcast for working moms. This is Bad Moms in Business, a podcast that believes that empowered women empower women. Here are your hosts, Bridget Robertson, Amanda Sharp, and Danielle Monahan.
Hello, and welcome back to Bad Moms in Business. Guys, it is almost spring.
I am so ready for it.
I know.
I am too. The second winter, whatever thing we got going on.
We are in Michigan, as most of our listeners know, and I think we've had more winter in March than we have all winter.
It's true. If this was on the news, which I don't watch the news, but I saw a clip of it. And, you know, again, fact check things yourself. I don't know how true this is. But they said that we've had the same amount of snow in March already that we have all of the other months combined.
I believe it.
It feels like it. And it's been cold. Like, March didn't get the memo that they're supposed to be like calendar spring.
And also, we had some really nice weather there. We were in like 50 degrees. I was ready, man. I'm doing all the things. We're planting plants. Like, we are ready for spring. And then Christmas happened again.
It did. I find it remarkable that 50s post-winter feels so amazing.
Beautiful.
50s post-summer, you're like, oh my gosh, it's so cold.
Yeah, it's 50 true. In October and 50 in March don't hit the same.
Okay, but you're right that they don't. But you guys know, I'm a fall person here. Yeah. I'm a fall guy. Yeah. And I could live in 50, 60 degree weather all year round.
Me too.
That's my sweet spot.
Yep. I agree. I don't want it to be above 72 ever.
No, never.
Guys,
I'm a sweater. Do you guys sweat?
No.
Really?
No,
I'm a sweater.
And I have to say, as a plus size lady, yeah, it gets warm real fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm a sweater.
Do you hear my dogs beating each other up?
Just slightly, but it's okay.
A tiny bit.
Tiniest of sliver. Like I get heated, like I'll get red and I get warm, but I don't sweat a whole lot, which has always been really great. No. But it probably is terrible for my body because part of why you sweat is because you want to be regulated, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Oh my gosh, give me 80 degree sunny days all year long. I'm a happy camper.
No.
So I feel like my body changed. So when I did my study abroad, we were in Southeast Asia and it was 100 degrees every day, all day. And we were on the edge of monsoon season. It was like 90 to 100% humidity at any given point. Even if it wasn't raining, it would be 100% humidity. Like, it was just wet in the air. So I sweat so much when I was there. And plus we were like going to temples and stuff. So we had to wear like long sleeve, long dresses. It was like that kind of setting. When I came home, it was a game changer. My life, I just started to sweat always. And I don't necessarily sweat always in my armpits, but like my back, the boobs, always sweating, always, always sweating. Just throwing it out there. We're all friends here.
We're all friends here. Absolutely. Even our listeners. I will say, when I was in El Paso for those years, the 100 degree heat had zero humidity, though, you guys. Like, dry heat is so different.
Okay.
100 degree heat that's dry feels 85 with super humid days is way worse. So much worse.
Interesting. Because I've been out that way just a handful of times in my life. So, and I guess I didn't ever really pay attention to the weather like that. So that's super interesting. I've heard that before.
Yeah, you don't really sweat. It just evaporates, which means you have to be extra careful to not get dehydrated because it can very easily happen.
Good point. Good.
But I just love the heat. I'm just programmed that way. How I am in Michigan, I'll never understand how that happened again. No offense to Michigan.
Where all did you live? Was it just in Texas?
Just in Texas and here. Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we obviously came back here because it was easiest.
Yeah.
But had you guys been able to choose any state, now that you know everything, and I guess world too. I mean, why limit ourselves if we're just bringing up some stuff? Where would you choose to maybe retire outside of babies and all that stuff? Because like zero responsibility, you just choose your dream place. Where is it? So like,
okay, I have thoughts on this.
Okay,
but I'll let Bridget go first.
Well, I don't think I have anything. I haven't traveled super far and wide to know where my ideal setting is. Sure.
That's fair.
So I have to say I would probably just stay here, which is lame.
Who says it's lame?
Well, I mean, I aspire to be the person who has
worldly
a dream places. Location, but maybe as I continue to travel more, we're going to Tennessee in a couple weeks. Maybe Tennessee will be like, this is where I want to be. But I don't want to be hot. I don't want to be hot.
Same.
Especially when I'm old.
Okay, so I have a very detailed thought process on this.
Shocker.
Okay,
I feel like she has like two pages in her bullet journal ready
to address.
She
seriously
this.
Is looking down like,
I know. It's just habit. I do not have notes on this. Okay, so, but retirement is a little bit different because I don't know what age I'll be and all of that. That's so let's just say if I could retire right now and my kids were old enough to be sustainable on their own, I think I would do a split between two places. I would like.
That's common.
Snowbird kind of deal. Yep. So my first place is Ireland because, and I have not actually been there, but I've done extensive research.
Same.
On this.
We could be neighbors in Ireland
right now.
Like, okay, let's do it.
So sweet. Oh, I love it. And then the other place is, I'm not 100% sure. I think I would probably pick Thailand. Vietnam was hands down my favorite place, like out of the countries that I went to over there. But there was this one city in Thailand that was beautiful. And we met so many really cool people there. And there was like this, anyways, it doesn't matter. So I think I would say Thailand as like my winter getaway place. Going at a different time of year would be a heck of a lot better than when I went.
Fair. Very fair. I would do Ireland, I believe. And again, I've never been there. Marcus has been there, but I have not been there. And I think I would really want to do Cape Cod. There is something about Cape Cod. When I'm there, my soul is anchored.
That is fair because it is great there.
It's so hard to describe because it's more of a feeling for me than anything else.
Yep.
If I'm staying in the States, I'm going to Salem all day.
Oh, yeah.
All day am I going to Salem.
Pretty sure we're going to Salem this summer, Danielle.
Stop it. I need
our friends
to vlog the entire thing. Just FaceTime me the entire time you're there.
Okay.
So I can live vicariously because we won't be flying anytime soon. But I can't wait to go back. And we are going back kidless. It has to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
At least with help.
So when I do it, I will do it with lens of Danielle in mind, and I'll kind of give you an idea of how amazing or how like it didn't hit what my expectation was.
Okay.
Because I think like you didn't get to like really feel it because you had the babies with you. Mm-hmm. So maybe like the expectation wouldn't have been met of what you even wanted.
It's true.
You were just so overwhelmed with the the trip.
There was a lot. We weren't there very long, which I heard you don't need to be there very long. But we all had some sort of unfortunate stomach bug, which I'm assuming came from a food that we ate there, because it sort of all hit us one night. And then, with kids, it was really hard. We tried a couple of the museums and stuff, but it's like, you got a screaming baby and a screaming toddler. And it's like, well, we're just going to leave.
Poor Danielle. But it always won't be that way. Soon you'll have a 16-year-old driver doing his own thing. So let me tell you the first time he drove away from me without me in the car.
Did your heart just...
Because this has happened since we last recorded. I could physically feel my heart getting further and further away from my body. And it wasn't like he was in the safe hands of another adult.
Yep.
That had more life experience. And so it was very hard. And he was so good. He texted me when he got to where he was going.
So precious.
I was like, thank you so much. I love you super. He texted me when he left. The heart feeling when he was at home again and I was like with my baby once more, like the feeling of completion again, like it felt so good.
I can't even imagine.
No.
I
cannot.
It was really hard because the one day they had canceled school. But by the evening, like the roads were pretty good. So like I had to worry about, you know, were there icy spots? And one thing I didn't teach him because we never had drove this late was I said, do you have any questions about like what you experienced when you were driving that we maybe didn't cover that you feel a little unsure about? And he was like, yeah, when I was coming home, some of the lights were blinking.
Oh.
And I said, oh my goodness, I never would have taught you that. Like we would never have been in a car at that time. What the blinking like red or yellow light meant, like when it was a normal light intersection that would have been normally green or red.
Interesting.
And I said, what did you do? He goes, well, there are no cars. And so it was blinking yellow. So I felt I was good to go. And I said, you absolutely were. Mm-hmm. And so I go, wow. So just a little PSA for you mamas out there who have brand new drivers. They're not used to driving that late typically without you or at all. So just maybe cover that because even his course was just awful, but no one taught him that. So it was cute.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that you covered that with him when he got home.
Know.
Like, what questions did you have? Oh. Like, how did it go? I love that. I just think that that's so sweet.
Well, you just don't know what you don't know until you don't know it.
And right. And you don't know if he would have even asked you had you not asked him that question either.
Well, and we know Amanda is not getting in a car past 6:02 p.m. So of course he hadn't been introduced to that.
No. Not at all.
I love it.
I know. And he, like, the thing was, I had no concern with him driving late because he stays up late. He can drive probably better in the dark than I'll ever dream of for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, but it was just really cute. And then the next day he went to work again, but it was during the day, so it was a little bit of a different feeling, but it was just as hard. So it's just super cute to see like that freedom blossom. So even though it really took a toll on me physically, I was so thrilled for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad that is a long ways away because I'm going to need those years to mentally prepare myself.
I don't know that there's ever preparing.
Therapy. I'm going to need it.
And, you know, it gave me a taste of what it's going to be like for us raising kids when they're out of our house even.
Mm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Because we'll always be moms, but there will be a clear place for our insight and our mothering and to just let your kid discover mistakes on their own. And we really need to allow them that space at a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because I can't stop the forces coming at him if I don't know that they exist.
Well, and you don't want to, because how would he ever?
Oh, I surely do.
Well, I know that you do, but.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do. Because he does. Yeah, all kids need to learn how to deal with it. But, you know, a parent, especially me, you know, I would move any mountain to avoid him having to come into any kind of conflict. But that's not real life.
Mm-hmm. No.
But it's hard. And not only is he going to be running into these things and your boys are going to be doing the same thing, we might not even know about it.
With Aaron, I will never know.
Mm.
He's so guarded when it comes to... like what happens at school and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll sit every day he walks in the house and I say, how was school? Oh, it was good. And in first hour we did this and so, like he goes through all the hours. But he's not telling me like so-and-so said this, or I sat here at lunch. He's like, we learned about, you know, X, Y, or Z. And I'm like,
He's giving you what you want
without
spilling the tea.
Without releasing.
And I don't know how to, and I don't know how to say like what really happened at school.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, was anybody mean? Mm-hmm. Was anybody nice? Did anybody, you know, I don't know.
Johnny say? What about Fred? What did he say?
Right.
I wonder, and we all have daughters. So any of our listeners who have daughters, do their daughters come home and just
they have to, right?
I can tell you for a fact that one of Aaron's friends, her mom and I are friends, and her mom will text me and say, Abby came home and spilled all of the gossip, and here's what I heard. So she does keep me clued in sometimes when she mentions things that have to do with Aaron.
Interesting.
But otherwise, I'm in the dark. Aaron was student of the month for February. I found out on Facebook because he didn't come home.
Okay, but what grade is he in now?
Sixth.
In sixth grade, that is the thing that they could almost care less about.
Aaron cares. Aaron cares because he
cares. Why is he like that? He should have came home and been like, Mom!
Aaron cares very much about his grades and about his school performance. I mean, he knows what his grades are before I do because he checks them incessantly through the little portal that we all have access to.
He is.
And he came home sometime last week and he was like, my teacher's going to email you. And I said, about what? And he was like, you'll see. Like he didn't even care to tell me what the teacher was going to email him about. And the teacher still hasn't emailed me. So yesterday I said, are you student of the month? Cause I saw it on the middle school's Facebook page. And he was like, oh yeah. Okay. And then I said, your teacher still hasn't emailed me. Is that what he was going to email me about? No, I'm in the hall of fame on the, in his classroom on the wall. Cause I answered something and I was like, what?
But wanting to do well doesn't always equal wanting attention for it, potentially. Like, I know for a lot of kids, that's the truth, where they need to do good because that's them. Mm-hmm. But they don't necessarily need the, like, obvious recognition. And I feel like Danielle would be like that.
That was me, for sure. Yep. I always did well. I always cared about doing well. But do not look at me.
Right.
Do not pay attention to me. I like to blend in.
That's so funny.
I'm blending in with my classroom setting by the books.
That's how I roll.
That's funny.
Well, I think I've already shared this. I'm already trying to find ways to get Owen out of like having to graduate like across the stage.
Oh, you didn't share that.
Because he has no interest in it. And when I was in high school, if I'm remembering correctly, it was like part of my grade. Like we didn't get a diploma if we did not walk. They threatened us with something, and I can't remember what it was, because I wouldn't have walked at that point. Like it to me, that was such a waste of time. And so Owen has the same thoughts, but I think he doesn't have to.
Wow, I was not like that though. I was like, I graduated, I am pumped, but I was like, don't wear heels, don't trip. Sure. Don't look at anybody in the eye.
Poor Danielle.
We're going to shake hands. We're going to walk away. Like, he had it planned out.
As you can imagine, for me, all I wanted to do was walk. I'm like,
we're just like, hey.
What up?
Like, Mom, I will say that you would have thought that would have been me because of how I am now. But I was just so like, grinding, focused, laser focused on making money and working, that to me, like, that seems so like immature at that moment that I was like, this is so stupid. Looking back, I'm like, I probably could have been a little bit more of a pleasure about that for my parents, but that's okay.
I don't know anybody who didn't walk with us on purpose.
Yeah, I can't say I do either.
But I know a couple of people that walked with us that probably shouldn't have because they did not get their degree in that moment. Not degree. What is it? Your Diploma.
I think that that's definitely a thing. Like, hey, you can walk with your class, but see you in summer school.
Yep. That was a very real thing for most of
and
the people I know.
Summer school was like legit summer school. I don't know that the kids actually have to go to school, like to do summer school. I think they could, it might all be online now.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. I don't think it is here.
So speaking of online, this triggered me yesterday. So yesterday marked 3 years ago that
I totally bypassed it. Didn't even think about it at all. You're right.
The last normal day that we had, at least here in Michigan.
Well, exactly 3 years ago today, according to my Facebook memories, we had Aaron's birthday party with his friends here at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm almost positive a year from tomorrow, so Wednesday, is when everything shut down. Because I can remember.
Yes, because the 13th is when they
announced closed. It.
Like Monday, the kids are not. I think that was a Friday, if I'm remembering correctly. Like, I think on the Monday, that was like when, like, we're done.
Yeah, and I think somehow, because I don't think we were taking it super seriously yet, right? We were like, 2 weeks, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. So Aaron had two friends over that live in our neighborhood for his birthday three years ago today. And then, I think we were like, okay, see you in 2 weeks. Nope.
I can remember my mom came over to watch Watson and Brandon and I were just working. And we were like, hey, we're going to run to the store really quick. We're kind of hearing some weird things. We want to stock up on some groceries. And when we got to the grocery store, we were like, oh my God.
Uh-huh.
What is going on? It is like the end of the world. There's nothing on the shelves. Toilet paper is nowhere to be seen. We had to get like a bunch of frozen food. Then our oven died. I don't know if you guys
remember. I remember that. Oven
died. like literally 3 days into the shutdown. It was awful. Oh my gosh, that was such a nightmare. But I remember calling my mom from the grocery store being like, we're going to come home as soon as we can. You should hit the grocery store because people are insane right now. And I don't know what's happening.
Craziness.
It was bad.
I remember a friend of mine told me, I want to say like Monday or Tuesday, he was like, you need to go grocery shopping. They're going to shut us down. And I was like, you're a liar. It's not gonna happen. Never in a million years.
That was so crazy.
But I did go and got like, because we were like bare minimum in the house. I was like, if we like, just the thought of that threat was like, we ain't gonna have any food. So I went and got like enough. And then sure enough, that Friday, and I took the shutdowns very seriously out of I just didn't want to go out and about with all the crazy.
Yeah,
because the world was crazy. And so I have some notes from my like cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wrote down like it was specifically exactly what I had in the house for like meats and all of that type of stuff. And I went through cookbooks because all we had was time at that point. And I went through all of the cookbooks and I wrote down exactly like what we had enough for this recipe.
Wow.
And I had like the pages in the cookbook it was from. Like I was so organized. And it brought me back to when I was like a stay-at-home mom with Owen when he was smaller. And so while it was such a miserable time, it was so miserable, mostly because you tell me not to do something, it's immediately going to be something I now want to do.
Oh, interesting.
I hate being told what to do. Hate it. So that was part of my own mental issue. But I really, those times were precious.
I do. It's so ridiculous. I look back on that time so fondly, and I know it was so hard for so many people, but we had fun. It was, just me, Brandon, and Watson, and the dogs, and we took it very seriously as well, mostly because it scared us with Watson.
Yeah, oh, yes, of course.
And we didn't know, nobody knew, right? It was just so scary. But we had so much fun, movie nights and fort. Like we built our first forts and Watson learned to walk. He had his first birthday party during the lockdown. Like, it was, we did puzzles and we were playing games and dancing. Like it was just, I look back on that time really fondly. And so I have a couple of books back here that I write to each of the boys, like today, for example, Jet turns 13 months. And so I write to him like every month, you know, on the same day I try to. And Watson's now has slowed way down, but I will review back the things that I have written sometimes. And it was like, man, it was such a interesting time to just go back and we're like, oh, we're day, you know, 47, you know, this, yeah. it was really crazy.
I feel like in the thick of it, it was miserable to some degree, even though we were enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get me wrong. There was so much fear underneath all of that.
Yeah, there was, and very much so.
And not to mention financially. I mean, for so many people, everybody was out of work. Unemployment was a nightmare, a complete nightmare.
Yes.
And then there was all of these extra things, right? Like the EIDL, the PPP, there was just so many different avenues that people could take, but people were getting denied. And yeah, that was a stressful time, but I'm focusing on remembering the positive.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, and rightfully so, have like post-traumatic stress syndrome from it because of all that happened. I know many people who lost loved ones during that time and weren't able to give them the respectful goodbye that they feel they wanted to. And so they have that to live with. And so it was just, I almost feel bad saying I kind of enjoyed the simplicity of it as much as I did, because I know so many people were living hell through that.
That's kind of how I feel too. It was like, I feel, you know, the world is, or at least in my life, it's so go, go, go. And it's, there's a million things to do and you're chasing kids around and you have to work and you got to eat right and you got to exercise and da, 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 da. But I felt like during the lockdown, everything just sort of slowed down. Everything just sort of halted a little bit, and it allowed at least me specifically to catch my breath and organize my thoughts and, okay, what actually is important in my life? What avenue am I going to take? And it sucks that it takes something like that. Like, right. It always takes something big to like slow your life down. And I hate that so much. I wish we could all just remember that without some sort of big, you know, life-changing event happening.
Well, I hated it. I hated every moment of it. So,
but it was different though, because you were in such a different place with your kids. I could not imagine if Watson had been used to like running around with friends and stuff, he would have drove me up a wall. And then school, don't even get me started on school.
Bridget, your kids are social.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You had a neighborhood that's very social. So you had a little bit more taking away from you, where Owen keeps his company very like scarce. And mostly over gaming and stuff like that. So it shifted him very little, where it shifted your world. You're very into going to church every single Sunday. I mean, you had a lot of really great things that you love taken away.
Yeah. Yeah.
It stopped me from going to Target. So that was good. But don't worry. We're back. We're back now.
And Danielle and I will never forget when you had COVID. You want to record?
Sorry about that.
Oh my gosh. But
I think it was so cruel how you had to quarantine for when you had COVID. It was so different because it was towards the beginning and you had, have some hate for it, completely different than we do.
Those memories were coming up on my Facebook over this last week and the like me being stuck in the bedroom and the boys like sending me notes underneath the door and oh my gosh
and then we're like, hey, you're super sick, everything on your body hurts, we're gonna record a couple of episodes, okay?
Yeah, not just one episode, a couple. Yeah. No, it was
fine. We did too, and we were finally like, I don't know, you're not looking great. Like, do you want to be done?
I feel so bad about that still.
No, it's fine.
Sorry.
It's fine. But yeah, it was not a memory that I enjoy. I mean, when lockdown first started, there was some novelty to it. Like, oh, we don't have to go to the party tonight. Ooh, we don't have to go running here, there, and everywhere tonight. We can relax. And then after a while, it was like, I would give anything to be able to go to karate tonight.
Question for you guys, and this isn't to get controversial. This is just like, just do you think if, God, I do not want another pandemic ever in my lifetime or ever again in this world.
No.
Do you think that our population would allow it to play out the way that we allowed it to play out this last time?
No.
I don't think so either. I think people would be like, good recommendation, but peace.
Yep. It was hard the first time to get everybody on board with it because so many people didn't take it seriously. It is going to be immensely difficult if it ever happens again.
And I think that's why when things were ramping up a little bit again, and people were talking about, the state might get shut down again. So many people were like, I'm not shutting down. Yep. I'm going to do whatever I want. And I think that's why we ended up not going back into a lockdown, because it was like, what's the point? Nobody's going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are going to listen will just stay home.
Yep, exactly.
And everybody else will.
The people who were taking it seriously were going to minimize anyways.
I took it so seriously. I took the staying at home so seriously to probably a fault. It was, I really played it up.
I can remember being asked a question by somebody that we all know. It doesn't matter who asked me, but he was like, how are you holding up? Like, he was calling everybody, like just checking in on everybody.
Oh,
and he's like,
yes.
How are you holding up? And I was like, I have been preparing for this my whole life. This is wonderful. Like, you're telling me that I don't have to hug people for like a whole year
or longer.
Done.
when that person called me, I'm pretty sure I cried in his ear. Wasn't the first or the last time I did it to that man.
I also got the call, but I can't remember like what I actually said. I think he was shocked that actually I was staying at home. He's like, you mean to tell me like you only went to the grocery every 3 weeks and that's the only time you've went out? And I'm like, yeah, but like I'm Zooming like twice a day.
See, yeah, we had our release a little bit. I'm not a big socializer just in general anyway, so this works for me.
Yeah, it was something. I don't want to ever do it again.
No, I don't either.
But do I want to mimic the simplicity oftentimes? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really wish that I could find that in my life. That's really what I'm like craving, is just a simple routine. And when you have kids, it's just not possible.
I don't know. I guess I never really had a routine.
Oh, I'm a routiner. I'm a planner. If I could have my life scheduled from sunrise to sunset and even beyond every single second of the day, that would be lovely.
Mm-mm.
And I would do it.
I can't live like that.
Oh.
No, I like to fly by the seat of my pants.
No, that makes me anxious.
I need to know the direction the day is going.
Sure, sure.
Right? Like, I have my check boxes that I know I need to have checked by the end of the day. Like, I need that. Mm-hmm. But I love allowing the space for the unexpected phone call.
I really don't. I do it because it's life, right? But like, I don't want to.
The extra cup of coffee.
There's always time for the extra cup
absolutely.
Of coffee.
Absolutely.
Schedule it in then.
But I don't always know what I need that moment.
Hmm.
You know,
speaking of coffee, how much coffee do you drink, Amanda?
Pot a day.
A pot. And that is how many cups?
12 cups. And you know what? By the time it actually brews, it's more like 10 cups. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's always less water. Yeah.
It has a lot of caffeine.
Doesn't faze me.
So when I was nursing Watson And when I was pregnant with Watson, I had zero caffeine, none, not a drop of caffeine. With Jet, I started out strong. The entire pregnancy had no caffeine. And up until a couple of months ago, did not have any caffeine. I've slowly started to try to incorporate it because I'm a walking zombie and having a toddler and a baby at the same time has been no joke. It makes me so anxious. I can do coffee a half calf coffee, caffeine.
Hmm. Yeah.
Through the roof. Brandon's like, ooh, you got to slow your roll, dude. Like you are, I talk a mile a minute. I'm shooting 1,000 different things at him. I'm super anxious. So it's all like,
well, it's a stimulant.
Hard stuff, work stuff. Yeah. So I can do half calf at most. But a lot of times I actually dilute it with decaf. So I'm getting like maybe quarter calf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just convincing myself that it works.
I feel like for me, it's not even about the caffeine. I think I'm immune to caffeine at this point.
I am too.
I really do.
Really?
So I could probably be just as happy drinking a whole thing of decaf coffee. I just love, kind of like what we were talking about during the pandemic, I love the ritual of pouring a cup of coffee, taking that sip, pausing for a moment and letting out a sigh of relief or processing. Like those are the moments when I'm loving coffee. That's what I'm saying. I love why I love coffee. It really, the actual liquid that's in my cup, secondary to the actual ritual of my doing
it. It's the Hygge of it.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to say yes, because you said that like so confidently, like I know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, that's
it's like cozy, exactly.
Yeah, it's the Danish way of living,
sure.
Lighting candles, reading by a fireplace, cuddling up with a blanket, enjoying your cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. It's the
feeling,
it's that cozy feeling that you get.
I'm have to have the caffeine. I have to, or else I get terrible headaches. Once I'm into my second or third cup, then I could switch to decaf.
How much caffeine or how much coffee do you drink?
So I've been cutting back because I will drink it black, but I don't prefer to drink it black. So I've been having one cup in the morning with my creamer because I've been measuring it out and everything.
Oh, I need to do that.
It's shocking when you discover how many calories you're actually consuming in coffee creamer. Mm-hmm. So I have been measuring it out. And then I also have 2 shots of espresso with my protein drink.
Oh, that's
and then nice. Every once in a while, I'll have another cup like later in the day, depending on what's going on. But other than that, that's it. But I used to be like, Amanda, I could drink a pot of coffee and not be flying off the walls.
I will say if I quit cold turkey, I would probably get headaches too. So I would have to somehow, because even though I'm not stimulated by the caffeine, my body, the headache thing is real. And when I was cutting out my cream, I was like cutting it in half. And then that really helped me like taper down to just black. And I've actually just recently started adding cream again to it because I'm like, you know what? I live one time. I'm living one time. If I want the cream, I'm putting the cream in my coffee. I'm just going to start living it up. I just don't even care anymore.
I used to drink back before kids and stuff. I used to drink black coffee all the time and it never really fazed me. And I feel like since I've gotten out of having coffee, now I have to like acquire the taste again. So I'm not quite there yet. Also, this is just like a vain thing. Black coffee affects my breath so much. I hate coffee breath and it makes me feel gross. And I just immediately want to go brush my teeth where I feel like coffee and creamer doesn't do that.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
I don't know. I mean, I know I have coffee breath.
Yeah, but there is that feeling of black coffee, like
it's just so like strong
and it's like slick almost.
Mm-hmm. It just hangs out in your mouth forever.
See, my tongue, when I put cream in my coffee, my tongue feels weird to me.
Oh,
where the black coffee is more like just drinking more of a tea or something like that. And one thing about COVID is I don't get super close up to people anymore.
Yeah, same.
it's just feels weird to do that. Where before, I think people worked much closer together. We would come down in it. And I'm like, I'm much better just by standing back, which is probably a very good thing for anyone to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, boy, did these topics go round and round. As usual, we talked a whole lot about nothing and a whole lot about everything.
That's right. That's what we do.
That is what we do. I'm having a very like low energy day. I'm just like.
Maybe your body just needs the pause, embrace it and allow it.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to work out later today, but.
That might pop you up.
Good. Mm-hmm. We're doing so good with that. I'm
thanks
immensely jealous because I have not. I know you don't need motivation to work out. Motivation is garbage, right? Like,
yes,
it's just a fake mindset.
Yes, I agree.
But when I have a very strong motivation not to work out, that's where
I
was like, what are we taking this
thing right now? That's what I'm all working right.
So hit on that. You guys don't think motivation is real?
No, it is a very real thing, but it is a false construct of your mind. You don't need motivation to do anything. That's just our fallback.
I agree with you because if I needed motivation to get out of bed in the morning, I would never get out of bed. Truly, I would never get out of bed. And if I needed the motivation to like go to the gym every day, I would never go. You just have to do it anyway.
Yep.
I guess, I don't know, maybe I lump motivation with need.
Yeah, they're two different things, I think.
And there's a difference between listening to your body too, right? Like if I'm not feeling good or if I'm feeling run down or burnt out or something, that's totally different than motivation as well. I think there's a difference between motivation and habit, and trying to create a habit has nothing to do with motivation and actually doing it. Because to create the habit, you have to do it, period.
I agree.
I've never really digested this. So I'm like going, huh, I don't even know what my thoughts are on this because I've never really put it into the category of thinking that motivation is. There's
been books written about this and stuff too, which I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I can look them up.
And I think that being motivated to do something certainly helps your will to get up and do it.
Absolutely.
Like I am motivated to get up and drink my coffee. Then I'm going to look forward to doing that thing. If I'm motivated to go to the gym, I'm going to look forward to doing it. If I'm not motivated to do it, I still have to. I just might not be like pumped about it.
You can't rely on motivation 100% of the time because motivation is going to ebb and flow. It is going to come and go 100%.
It's interesting because I'm fascinated by this. I really have to digest this after we're like done to really go into it. But I was just thinking the other day because y'all know that I'm doing like the challenge. You know, daily content, not just in like one form, but several forms. And it's just what it is. Like there's no motivation. It's just what it is. Yep. And I put it into the same category. I was thinking going, all right, what else is just what is? If you have a surgery, it's just what is. No one wants to have a surgery. No one wants to go into labor and deliver a baby.
Yeah.
But there's only one way to reconcile what needs to be done. And that is, okay, we have a surgery.
Yep.
And for me, when I had my surgery back in August, there was no fear leading up to it. There was no, like, it just is what it was. And so if I've started putting anything that I just need to do into the category of it is what it is and it just needs to get done. There's no like negotiating on it. Yep. And it's been so much easier just to do it.
You're and taking that motivation right out of it.
Yep. So I think that you have been doing it or using that method without even realizing it.
That's what I think. I'm fascinated by this. I don't know that I like the word motivated anymore.
So it's funny because I'm in a small chat group with a couple other girls who are like working through weight loss or a journey to health. I hate that word, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And oftentimes we talk about like, oh, I'm just not motivated to get up. And I said to one of them the other day, I said, you have to do it without the motivation. You just have to do it. If you want to. I mean, if your goal is to stay where you are, cool. But if your goal is to like work out every day, or
if your goal is to change,
if your goal is to change, you just have to.
You just do it. You just gotta suck it up.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. Because, like I said, I have high motivation to not do it. And it's...
But
not having motivation to do something is different for me than having a ton of motivation not to do it.
But you are equipped with the skill to do it, because you, without thinking twice, get up to go feed Jet.
Yep.
And clean your house and all of the things. Like, no one has any motivation to do those things. Well, not feeding the kids, obviously, but cleaning houses and stuff.
For sure.
But we just go, this is a non-negotiable. It needs to get done. So we're all equipped with the ability to just, like, put it into that box of this is must be done.
Interesting. Yep.
So, Bridget, when you're exercising, does this feel different this time than some of the past times that you're categorizing it differently?
Yeah.
Like,
it's
just in a box of boom. No, it's there.
Yep. And it's funny because Monday through Friday, I have to do it. It doesn't matter whether I feel like it or not. And there's plenty of times now that I'm starting to create this habit that I do want to do it. Mm-hmm. But there's also days. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the girl that I go to the gym with and I, we walked in just like,
yeah. Here. Oh, even so, she even gets kind of like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, here we are. But then once you're in it, mm-hmm. starting is the hardest part. Once you're in it, it feels good and you want to do it and you're encouraged to do it. So, yeah. And I prefer to do it in the morning because there's not a lot of thought about it. Like, I get the kids off to school, I get in my car and I go to the gym. Like, it's all one fluid motion. But today, because we're doing this, I'm going to work out with Chris when he gets home. And by the time 2:30 rolls around, I'm going to be like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm going
to. So because there is a book called Willpower, and it's about your willpower and the fact that it replenishes overnight. You have a finite amount of willpower during the day. And every time you allow yourself to answer a question that you don't already know, it depletes your willpower. And so that's why by the end of the evening, you are more likely to eat unhealthy, have the snack, not work out, because your willpower has been depleted over the day. I haven't finished the book, but they were talking about how, like, you should set out your clothes. Like, don't try to make yourself not have any decisions to make, especially early in the morning, so you're not depleting your willpower. Mm-hmm. Set out your clothes at night. Figure out what you're going to make for the day. You know, set out the food, make the food, meal prep, whatever you can do to try to not to deplete your willpower early on. And get the hard things done first.
I mean,
hard things done first, sense. For sure. Yeah. So that was a good conversation.
It was.
I love learning something new.
Yeah.
Or a new take on something. Because I do think a lot of words are used incorrectly.
Yeah.
Society has put them into this niche or trendy, you know, lane to use it. And I've absolutely misused motivation.
As have we all.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue, like, willpower too. Like, I'll say, I don't have the willpower to not eat 400 cookies or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Like, I can choose not to. It's just a harder choice.
Yeah.
But I can.
Choose your hard.
Yeah.
Choose your hard.
That has been my favorite saying.
It's so powerful. It really is powerful. And then my big word right now is priority.
Yeah.
Like, what's your priority? Be non-negotiable about them and then move on. Because if you don't do something, it wasn't a priority. If someone doesn't call me, they didn't make me a priority.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. If you run out of time to do something or whatever the case may be, it's because you didn't make it a priority.
Absolutely. And I mean, when you really assess and take the time to look at what you really did make time for and what you didn't, it's very clear what people's priorities are.
And I find that so interesting that, like, I it might just be part of, like, the society that we live in, right? Like, we put work on such a high pedestal, and being busy and hustle culture and all of that, that at least for me personally, I put my health on a back burner. And, like, that makes no sense. That should be my number one priority outside of my family, like, period.
And I would say that's probably one of the things that's consistently always put on the back burner as lack of a priority. It's a lot easier to prioritize someone else than ourselves. And it's so silly. And I know we probably need to wrap up, but I will say one more thing that I saw on a TikTok this morning.
Oh, yeah. Bring it
back.
We can't
have an episode go by without a TikTok reference. But it was a really interesting take on workplaces. And it was back years ago. People went to church for a community. They liked their neighbors. They barbecued with them on the weekend. So that was more of a community. They did this and that and this and that and this and all of these things. And that was part of a very healthy, like, kind of like a Bridget has this, like, huge community of all of this stuff, karate, church, these things. And he was saying everyone has stopped doing those things. And so one of the things that they have to still do, though, is work. And so instinctively, these are things that human beings desire. And so we're expecting work to provide community, all of the things that really the responsibility should be on the human being to provide for themselves or seek out. But now this new generation is expecting all of these things out of an employer that is so unfair. And I thought that that was a really really interesting take on employees. Yes, can employees, there's always room for improvement of treating good people, like paying well, all that excluded. People are thinking that they're owed way more from their employer than what they actually should be getting. And I thought that was interesting.
Super, super interesting. And you think about too, like, we spend the most amount of time with people, especially people in, like, 9-to-5 jobs, right? Like, they spend 40 hours plus a week with their coworkers. They're barely even getting that with their family. By the time you get home, you get dinner around and everybody goes to bed.
Yeah. So it just was interesting because I do think employees are not responsible for making sure that an employee's life is great.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I just thought that was really interesting. Yeah. But just that note, that was kind of in the accountability and and all of that good stuff. All right. Very interesting. I'll be done.
Well, I hope everyone has a fabulous 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll be back with some more hot topics or, you know, lack thereof.
Just conversation.
Hey, I like that store. I used to, I guess.
Hot Topic. Oh, heck yes.
Oh, I don't know that I know it's a store.
No, shocker. Are we shocked?
I know, but you, oh man.
I was like,
oh my gosh, I would love to see. Amanda, I have a task for you.
Okay.
Need to go to the mall and I need you to record yourself exploring Hot Topic for the first time.
It's a real store that still exists?
It is a real store. It's at Southland. I'm assuming it's probably at the Toledo Mall too, the Franklin Park Mall. You just gotta.
I would prefer that you come to my house.
And then we do it together.
No. I'm coming. Okay. I'm coming. I'm so coming.
Yes. Okay.
We all need to go to Hot Topic.
Okay. So maybe we can do a lunch and Hot Topic.
I'm down.
I love that. I'm so down. I would love that so much.
Okay. All right. Let's
get
do
that
it.
On the calendar. Let's sign off and get that on the calendar.
All right. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to our nonsense. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.